Everybody's got their things, that's right. Okay, today's daf is Samach Ches. We are starting a new perek. And it goes like this. Behema hamakasha lele. You have a cow who's trying to give birth. And at the same time, yeah, it's having difficulty giving birth. And at the same time, the shochet is trying to shecht it. It seems a little bit timing.
Why would the continue shechting when he sees what's going on?
Timing, well, because if he shechts it, and if he manages to shecht it before the cow gives birth, he doesn't have to shecht the child, right? So, because it's covered by the shechita of the mother. So perhaps he's trying to get in the shechita before the cow gives birth, otherwise he has to do a whole other shechita. So this is the situation. The animal is having difficulty in labor.
Do you want just a second? If the cow is giving birth and he doesn't have to shecht it, that means that the calf, or what it's called, calf, comes out, it's alive.
We're gonna learn about that. But there's different opinions. If you should shecht it anyway, just because it doesn't look good, or according to one opinion, you can just you don't have to shecht it at all. It's covered already.
Even though
it's alive. Yeah.
Even if you don't have to shecht it at all, but you can't eat it. You can't kill it.
Well, you can't eat it while it's alive. Yeah, you can eat it. It's covered by shechita. It's like a piece of the cow.
No, but you'd have to kill it.
Yeah, well, you can't eat it while it's alive. Yeah, you'd have to kill it. That's true. But you wouldn't have to do shechita. So, the animal's having difficulty giving birth. And what happened was, the fetus, the child, stuck its hand out into the air, out of the womb, the heck zero, and then pulled it back in. Mutter bachila, it's permitted to eat. Now, we don't know yet what that means. What is permitted to eat? Is it the fetus? Is it the hand that it stuck out? What exactly is permitted? That's going to be
hard to do. Would mean the whole business.
Well,
why would you even question it?
Because we'll see in the Gemara.
In fact, why does it say puts its hand back out and takes it in? What's the difference? Right?
That's exactly what the whole page is going to discuss. Okay, so we'll see what happens. What happens to that piece of the arm that's already gone out into the world? Because we said that the fetus is covered by the shechita of the mother. But once it sticks its hand out into the air, and it's not in the mother anymore, is it now part of the... Is it still covered by the shechita of the mother, or it's not? That's the question. Yeah, well, there's a whole discussion. A cow, let's say.
Doesn't have hands.
Okay, doesn't have a hand. Okay, so it sticks its... So that is the question. What exactly does a Mishnah mean that it's permitted to eat? If his head came out first, as sometimes happens when a baby's being born, so the calf stuck its head out, even if it then pulls its head back in, it's as if it was born. Once the head comes out, then it's considered born. And once it's born, then it's no longer part of the mother, and that's it. Nothing to talk about. If you had a fetus in the mother's, inside the mother, and it got cut up. While he was trying to help it give birth or whatever, somehow it just got cut up, yeah? And he left it inside there. He left the dead fetus inside the mother, yeah? And then he shechted it. It's mutter b'achila. That dead fetus, which is just meat, dead meat, is because it was inside the mother, he left it in there, is permitted to eat it, just like every other piece of the mother. But if it wasn't ubar, if it was the spleen or the kidneys which got chopped up somehow inside the mother, we'll discuss about exactly what's going on here in the Gemara as well, Oster Bachila, then the shechita doesn't cover it, so it can't eat it. Zehaklal, the rule is Dover Shagufa Oster. If you have a piece of the mother itself which got mutilated while it's inside the mother before shechita, it's not covered by the shechita, it's not permitted to eat. The she'ena gufa, but if you have something inside the mother which is not part of the mother, i.e. the fetus, it is mutter, it's covered. And it's all learned from a pasuk, which we will discuss in the Gemara. So let's go straight to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, when it says in the Mishnah that it's permitted to eat, it doesn't say what. It says mutar ba'achila. He says Eivar Atzma is asur. What it means is that the fetus that is left, the rest of the fetus, so it stuck its arm out, yeah, the rest of it is still inside the mother. That rest of it is permitted to eat, i.e., it's not considered as if it had been born. It's still considered within the mother, and it's permitted. But the limb that went outside, once it goes outside, that's it. Even if it pulls it back, it's forbidden to eat. It's not covered by the shechita of the mother. My timer, what's the reason? What is the whole reason behind this whole discussion? The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, it was actually in yesterday's Parsha, U'basar basada terefa loise chelu. The Pasuk says, expression, meat in the literal translation, meat in the field, that is a trefa, that is not shechted, ripped up by the animal, let's say, loise chelu. You're not allowed to eat it. So to tell you that you're not allowed to eat a trefa, we already know that. Yeah. So what's this pasuk teaching you? And why is this expression meat in the field trefa lo sechelu? Just because something's in the field that makes it a trefa? Or if you have a trefa inside your house that's not in the field, you can eat it? No, that's not what the pasuk. That's not what it means. So what does this come to teach you? It's a euphemism when he talks about a meat in the field. It means something that's gone out of its place. Something has a mechitza where it's supposed to be within, and it's gone out of the mechitza of the place that it's supposed to be, then it's like it, not that it's a trefa for sure, but it's like a trefa in that you're not allowed to eat it. Kevin sheyotza basar chustu mechitzasai, once meat went out of its mechitza, out of its designated area, neser is forbidden. So, the deal is that if you have a fetus inside the mother, even if it's alive, yeah, you have a baby inside the mother, that's the mechitza. While it's inside the mother, it's covered by the mother's shechita. So that's called its designated area. If it went outside of its mechitza, then it's like a trefa, and you're not allowed to eat it. So that arm of the baby, of the calf, that went out of the mechitza, which is the mother, into the air, is forbidden to eat. So that's how that's the pasuk, and from that we learn all sorts of things about things going out of the designated area. That's where we learn that if you took kochim, let's say, if you took kochim outside the Azara, or you took kochim kalim outside of Yerushalayim, even if you brought it back in, it's too late. It's gone outside of its mechitza, it's gone outside of its designated area, and therefore it's not a trefa, but it's like a trefa, and therefore forbidden to eat, what I mean to say. Okay, so that's how we learn from that pasuk. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, it's the rest of the fetus that's inside that's permitted, and the limb that went out, even if he pulls it back in, is not permitted. Now, let's see how that fits in with our Mishnah. Tznan, so our Mishnah said, the animal was having difficulties giving birth, the fetus or the child stuck his arm out and brought it back in, mutter b'achil is permitted to eat. Of course the Mishnah doesn't say what is permitted to eat, so the Gemara assumes, my love, isn't it the case, aever, the last noun before the words mutter b'achila is yodoy. Yeah, not ubor. So therefore, the Gemara wants to assume that it's the yodoy which is mutar ba'achila. So isn't that what the Mishnah is telling us? That even the arm itself, since he pulled it back in before the shechita, is permitted. Says the Gemara, loy. No, it doesn't mean the limb. A ubor. The Mishnah means the rest of the fetus that's inside and never went out. But the limb itself is also, says Rav, I mean. So the Gemara asks 1 second, Iya Ubar, if we're talking about the rest of the fetus, but the arm itself is forbidden, is my ear Yahzira? Why does it have to mention that he pulled the limb back in? I feel a Yahzira Nami, the same thing would apply if he didn't pull it back in, that the arm is Osur and the rest of it is Mutar. So why does it mention he pulled it back in? So the Gemara says, you're right. Hu Hadin, the same din applies exactly, I forgot the Yahzira. In the case where it stuck his hand out It doesn't make a difference whether he pulls it back in or not. The hand is also, the fetus is mutter. Why does it then mention that he pulled it back in if the halacha is the same when he didn't pull it back in? Because I did the kaboya the Mishnah Sefer. Because in the Sefer, the next part of the Mishnah, he wants to talk about where he stuck his head out. Now, a head is different. Because a baby, once a baby sticks his head out, then it's considered born. And the whole thing is also, because that's like, it's one animal, yeah? And therefore, because in the Sefer, it wants to say, it wants to point out that when the animal stuck his head out, to tell you that even though he stuck it out, he pulled it back in, he's considered to have been born by virtue of his head coming out, because the head is the main thing, and therefore it's always going to be forbidden. And because he wants to mention in that case about the fact that even if the head came back in, it's Tananame Reshach Zira. So when he says in the Reshach, oh, and he pulled it back in. But the truth is that in the case of the arm, there's no difference if it went back in or not. So the Gemara says back to whoever said this, one second. With Sefer, the case of the head. My Kamashmalon, what is actually it teaching you by saying that when the head, when it stuck his head out, it's considered born? What's it telling you? The cave in the Yotza Roishoi, that once the animal stuck his head out, Havala later, that's considered birth. Yeah? If that's what the Mishnah wants to tell you, Tanina, we already have a Mishnah that tells us that. It's a Mishnah in Bechoires, to do with firstborns. What is it telling you? Ezahu Bechoir. Now, the din of a firstborn is, when it comes to the holiness of, let's say, an animal we're talking about, not a person, right? So what's the din of a Bechoir? Of a shor or a seh. Yeah, what's the din of a bechor that it is kodesh? It has to be brought as a carbon. Yeah? What sort of bechor? Peter rechem. The first one that comes out of the womb. That's the din of a bechor. And it's a matana for the kohen. And even if it becomes a balmum, you have to give it to the kohen, etc. That's the din of a bechor. That's for karbonis. Now, there's another din. If you talk about people, right? Now, people, of course, a firstborn boy has to be redeemed. You have to do a pidyon haben and give the money to the kohen, right? So again, which type of bechor do you have to be poida and give the money to the kohen is a bechor that's the first one out of the womb. And then there's another din about a bechor, which is that when a person dies and he has a bechor, he gets a double portion in the inheritance, yeah? So we call that a bechor l'nachala. So you have a bechor l'koyanim, which is the fact that he's a peter rechem, and if it's a person, you have to do a pidyon haben, and then you have a bechor l'nachala, which is the firstborn regarding that he gets a double inheritance. Now, it's not always the same thing, because when it comes to inheritance, it doesn't talk about peter rechem. It doesn't have to be the first thing out of the womb. It has to be the first thing that the father feels a fatherly attachment to, yeah. So he's got to say, you'll see in a minute. Ezahu bechor l'nachla. So what's an example of a firstborn that would be considered a firstborn for the laws of inheritance? Ve'ena bechor l'koinim, but he's not considered a firstborn regarding the holiness that has to be redeemed from the koyin. What's the example? Habo achar nefelim. Let's say you had a nefel. Nefel is a stillborn. Yeah. So let's say there was a stillborn that came out. Sorry? That's for sure. Let's say it came out a stillborn. Yeah. And then came out after it the next one. So the next one is not a peter rechem because something came out of the womb before him. But he is a bechor l'nachla because he's the first living child that the father feels fatherly to. Yeah, he doesn't. The one that came out dead, the father never got attached to because he never was born. He never was alive. Yeah, and then he says, "Afal pi shayotza roishoy chai." Even if the head of this nafel came out alive, and then he pulled it back in, and now he's dead. Or even if he was had a full 9 months, so he wasn't like premature, but it came out dead, then the one that's after him is not a bechor for koyanim, but is a bechor l'nachala. What does that tell you about it sticking his head out and pulling it back in, or the head that came out dead is not considered a bechor lenachala, because bechor lenachala has to be where the father felt emotions to it. Yeah, it's time of the roshay meis, because his head came out dead. That means as soon as it was born, it wasn't born. As soon as it came out, the father said, "Oh, it's dead." So there's no bond there. Yeah. Ha roshay chai, but if he stuck his head out alive and then pulled it back in, let's say, yeah, b'haba acharav, the next child is b'cher the nachla nami lehava. The next one is not even considered a firstborn regarding inheritance, because once the other one stuck his head out alive, he is considered born and he's alive, and the father goes, "There's my son." And then, even though it died a few minutes later, whatever. Yeah, when the next one comes out, that's no longer b'cher l'nachla either. So what does that teach you? That if a child stuck his head out, even if he pulled it back in, he's considered to have been born. So we learned that from the din of b'cher. So we don't need to teach us that over here in the case of the animal, that when it stuck his head out, he's considered born and therefore not covered by the mother's shechita. Yeah, so now, the obvious difference is that that Mishnah is talking about an animal, and the Bechor, in that Mishnah is talking about a person, because we're talking about Nachla or whatever, so we're obviously talking about a human. The Chitema, so you'll answer me, Ashmi'inon ba'adam. The Mishnah in Bechor is telling you the din regarding a human being. The Kamash Malon, and our Mishnah over here is telling you, Be'behema, that the same thing applies to a behema, that when he stuck his head out, he's considered born. Why do I need two? The Adam Ibehema La Yolif, because you'll tell me you couldn't work out one from the other. If it only told me about an animal, you wouldn't necessarily know that the same thing applies to a human. Why not? The Ain praise the Behema. A Behema doesn't have a corridor. What do I mean by that? That when a Behema fetus or a child sticks his head out, once it gets out of the womb, it's in the air. There's no protection. Yeah, the way the animal is set up biologically, once the head comes out, it's out. So there's no further surrounding mother, and therefore that's why it's born. Masha Ein came with a human being. The way the mother's legs are set up is when the baby sticks his head out, it's still in a corridor until it has to go much further out. So if it pops his head out and then back in, but didn't come out through this corridor, then it would be, maybe, you might think, is not considered born yet. So it has to tell you that even by a human, once it stuck his head out, even if it's still in this corridor, is still considered born. So you cannot work out from our Mishnah that would say you don't need the Mishnah in Bechoros. And Vicky Verki, Behema me Adam lo Yalfa. Just because we know that that's the case by a human, we wouldn't know that's the case by an animal. The choshev parts of panim today, because with a human face is a choshev a thing. Yeah, everybody's got a beautiful face, and therefore, when the human child sticks his face into the world, you're going, "Oh, what a beautiful thing," and therefore that's considered born. But when an animal sticks his face out into the world, you'd go, "Eh, it's an animal's face." Yeah, so you might think that unless the whole thing comes out, it's not considered born yet just because of his face. What do I care about the cow's face? Yeah, and therefore it has to tell me about the animal as well. Yeah, so that's why you'll tell me we need both Mishnahs to tell me that when the head came out, it's considered born. Yeah, so the Gemara says, "But I'm sorry, Hanami Tanina, we learned it about an animal as well." We learned about both of them. It already told us these halachas. We know about both of them already. The Mishnah says, "This is in later on." The Mishnah says, "Ashilya shayotasa miktsasa." Shilya is like the sack. I think it's called placenta, where the animal, where the baby sits, but while it's getting ready to get born. Yeah. So if that came out, and even part of it came out, is asura b'achila. It's not allowed. Then you shechted the mother. You're not allowed to eat it. In other words, it's considered. But why is it so? Because they're talking about where it's a stillborn or some kind of a miscarriage, yeah? So what's the problem over here? You don't know whether in that bit of the shul, you can't tell what's going on in there because it's all mushed up. Yeah, but it could be that the part that came out contained the head. Yeah, and because it might be the head, if it's the head, then it's already born. So then you can't eat it anymore. It's not covered by the mother's shechita. Yeah, so that's the halacha. So we already know that. We already know that if the head would come out, it's considered born. And the Mishnah says, "Kitsimin vlad beisha," just like it's a sign of birth by a woman. "Kachsimin vlad bebehema," it's a sign of birth by a behema. So therefore, we already know that. So it sounds like the whole Mishnah is then superfluous, because you told me that one is the Mishnah start off in the case where he stuck his hand out and tell me vehechzira, that he returned it, because it wants to be, only because it wants to tell you in the Sefer when he stuck his head out and returned it. But the one in the Sefer is also superfluous, because I already know that when he stuck his head out, he's considered born. So the whole thing's superfluous. So what, both parts of the Mishnah are superfluous, so what's the, why are we talking about it? Yeah, we could have gone on to the next page. Yeah. So the Gemara has to work out what's going on. So the Gemara continues like this. If you would agree with me that when it says in the first part that he stuck his hand out and pulled it back in, that's what he's trying to tell you. That in the case of the hand, that when he pulled it back in, it's that means it'll be kosher. And therefore, what are we talking about? The arm itself. As opposed to when he didn't pull it back in, that the arm would be forbidden. And therefore, we're saying there's a difference between when he stuck it in, when he pulled it back, and when he didn't. Yeah. Then that would make sense. So therefore, that's what the Reisha is telling you. There's a difference whether you put it back in or not. And therefore, Tana Sefer to Reisha. And in the next part where he stuck his head out, there's taken no difference whether he put it in or not. But because he mentioned he put it back in the first part, he mentioned it's also in the second part. So that would make sense. And therefore, you would have to paskin that the arm going out, if it came back in, is still is permitted to eat. Not like Rav. But if you want to say, like we ended up with before when we got all tangled up, and we said the Mishnah didn't need to tell me that he pulled it back in the case of the arm, because there's no difference if he pulled it back in or not. So that's lav dafke. And in the Sefer, when he stuck his head in, also it's lav dafke, because I don't care whether he pulled his head back in or not. Once the head comes out, it's born. It's lam lele mister klal. So why mention it at all? Both of them are not necessary. Yeah, the first pass not necessary, second pass not necessary. So why are you mentioning it? Put it back in at all. So, the Gemara, the animal, it's an animal having a difficulty in childbirth. So the baby was trying to get born. So he stuck his hand out, and it didn't work, so he pulled it back in, and he's mucking around. And then you shechted the mother. Yeah, so the question is that arm covered by the mother's shechita? Because at the time when you shechted, it was inside. Or do we say, because it was already out, too late, and it's not covered. So the Gemara says, loy. No, you're not correct. Lo'ela ma'ubar. I can tell you that when it says in the Mishnah it's permitted to eat it, it's not talking about the arm. The arm is forbidden to eat. Once it's out, it's out. Yeah, and when it says it's permitted, it's talking about the rest of the fetus that's still inside and never went out. You'll tell me, you don't need to tell me that, because it's the same thing if he didn't. That, then it's the same thing, whether he brought it back or not, is no difference. It says, no, there's still a difference between whether he brought the arm back in or not. Lenitzrecha, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, ele lemakem chatach, the place where you cut it. So what has to happen? You imagine to yourself now, you finish the shechita, and you're dissecting the animal, the carcass, and you have this fetus. Now, most of the fetus is permitted to eat, except the arm that's stuck out is not permitted. So what do you have to do? You have to cut off the arm, and it's not kosher. Yeah. So what are you going to do with that arm? So if it didn't pull the arm back in, that means you have to actually put an extra bit, mokem chatach, the place where you cut it, you have to allow a bit of extra that you're going to make not kosher, and that will be, and to remove it and throw it away. Yeah. That's if it didn't put it back in. But if it did pull it back in, you don't have to be machmir on that place. And you can cut exactly the bit that came out, but the bit that didn't go out, that was just on the borderline, you can keep.
And I would have thought that since most of the animal is inside, that the bit of like outside doesn't matter, and New York.
Yeah, well, okay, but this is different. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says that we're going to see later on a different context. So we're going to say the same thing over here. Okay, so we're still trying to work out whether Rav is correct, or it doesn't actually say who was combating him. We're going to find out later that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. But at the moment, so far, we know that Rav says that it's only the fetus that is permitted, and the arm is not permitted. So we're still trying to prove whether he's right or not. So Toshima, we'll try to bring a proof. So this part is, this is not, there's a brisa. Behema makasha lele, same circumstance. The animal is having difficulty giving birth. Hoitzi ubor es yode vechzira, and the child, the calf, stuck its arm out and brought it back in. V'yacha kach shachar esimoy, and then he slaughtered the mother. Mutter b'achila. So far it doesn't help us because it's the same thing as the Mishnah. It doesn't tell us what's mutter b'achila. It's permitted to eat. It doesn't tell us which one. So no advantage gain there. Shachar esimoy. What if he shechted the mother while the arm was out, and then the fetus, which might even be still alive, pulled its arm back in? Is then osur b'achila. You're not allowed to eat it. Again, what aren't you allowed to eat? Presumably it's the arm you're talking about.
I would have thought mutter b'achila means a lot.
Yeah, well, okay, but it's a discussion here. Hoitzi es yadai v'chotcha. What happens if he stuck his hand out and the sheikh had chopped off the arm? He said, you're out. Chopped it off, and now it's not there anymore. And now he shechted the mother. So you've got the shechted mother with the rest of the fetus inside it, and you've got the arm that was chopped off previously, which is lying in the corner. Is tomek. So the bit that he cut off before is, not only is it not allowed to eat, but it's also mitame, like an avela, because it's an aver min achai. When he cut it off, it was a limb from a live animal. And the din is that a limb of a live animal, which is detached from the animal, is mitame, just like a limb from a dead animal. There's a tumah nevela. If you contact a dead animal, you become tame. So if you contact a limb, even from a live animal that's detached, is also mitame.
He should get into trouble for cruelty to animals.
Yeah, we're not going there. Well, also it's forbidden to eat. Yeah. So if he shechted the mother while the arm was out. Sorry, if you cut off the arm before you ejected the mother, then it's tamei and it's also to eat. No, there's no two ways about that. There's nothing to talk about, really. V'shebifnim, but the rest of the fetus that's still inside the mother and never went out of the mother, is toher. It is not matame. It doesn't make you tamei and mutter, and you can eat it, just like any fetus inside the mother. This is still the brisa talking. Shachar esimei ve'acha kachoto. What if he shechted the mother while the arm was out, and then he cut off the arm and never came back in? Turn the page. Is habosar maganavela. So that means the fetus, the animal, the cow, has touched the navela. So we're going to say midrabanan, there's a tumor on that, even though generally it's not matame thing, not matame other food, but it's going to be called maganavela because the mother itself is not a navela, but because it was in contact with this nevela before it was cut off, yeah, when you shechted it and it was still attached to that arm, which is like a nevela, which is like just an animal that's not shechted, it's considered to have touched the nevela. Divrei Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim Meirim. So what happens if it's touching a nevela? So a nevela makes things tomei. Yeah, if you touch a dead cow, you become tomei. Chachamim Meirim maga trefa shchuta. It's not considered a nevela, it's considered a trefa. So when you shecht an animal, and it turns out that it's treif, it had a hole in his lung, or all those treifas we learned, yeah? So it's not it's not kosher to eat, but it's not metame anymore. So a cow that died by itself, not only you can't eat it, but it makes you tame if you touch it. A cow that you shechted and turned out to have an internal, blemish, so it's not kosher to eat, but at least it stops it from making you tome. That's the difference between a shechted trefa and a nevela. It doesn't make you tome anymore. So this is a dispute. That arm that came out, is it considered nevela, or is it considered like something that was shechted but is a trefa? For sure you can't eat it. Okay, so that was the brisa. So what do we get out of our whole brisa? Says the Gemara, Katani Miho. We learn, meanwhile, in the middle there, the ratio. The first part of the brisa was, Hoitzi uber es yodev echzira, that the child, the calf, stuck his hand out and brought it back in. Ve'acha kach shachar esima, and then he shechted the mother. Mutar bachila is permitted to eat. So that sounds wording similar to our Mishnah. So my love, so the Gemara wants to say, what is permitted to eat? Again, a aver, that the arm itself is permitted to eat, which would be not like Rav. So Rav will tell you, lo ya ubar. No, it's the fetus that's permitted to eat, but the arm, once it's out, it's out. So again, the Gemara says, ya ubar, if it's telling you the fetus is permitted to eat, but the arm itself is forbidden to eat, is a masefa. Let's look at the next part of the brisa. The next part of the brisa talks about shochar asimoi, he shechted the mother while the arm was still hanging out. And then the baby stuck his arm back in. Is osur ba'achila. Now it says forbidden. So again, what's forbidden? Yeah, l'chera, what's forbidden in this case is what was mutter in the previous case. If you're telling me it's talking about the fetus, so now what are you saying? That the fetus is osur? V'i ubar, if it's the fetus you're talking about, am I osur? Why should it be forbidden just because his arm was hanging out when he shechted? The rest of it wasn't hanging out. So what do you mean it's osur? It couldn't be. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what it could be. Not that the fetus is osur, and the limb is osur, but the limb is osur. So what is the nuance here that we're talking about? Again, Kida Amar of Nachem Bar Yitzchak, like of Nachem Bar Yitzchak talked about, L'nitzuch elamokim chatach. Do you have to leave a bit of extra space where you cut it, where it's on the border of the mother's womb? It's hachanami. So here also, L'nitzuch elamokim chatach. When it says osur, it doesn't mean the whole fetus is osur. It means you have to allow a bit of extra space when you're cutting off the arm to consider that part not kosher. So the Gemara says, one minute, ain't he? It ain't so. It ain't so. V'hokiyasa avimi mebechezoi. Avimi came from bechezoi. Osur v'aisim asnisa biyodei. He came and he brought a brice in his hand. You know, he picked it in his hand luggage and he had a brice in there, yeah? And what was the brisa that he brought from Bechezoi? The brisa was parsa. So the pasuk says, when it talks about unkosher animals in Eshmini, it says mafreses parsa, and it also says the words shesa shesa shte prosois. Parsa is 1 foot, and prosois is 2 foot. Yeah, so what does that mean? It has to have a split hoof. That's a sign of a kosher animal. In one place, it uses the word parsa singular, that it has a split hoof. And the other place, it says prosois is got 2 split hoofs. So why does the Torah say one time 1 hoof and the other time 2 hooves? What's the difference? What's going on here? So he says, parsa, if it's 1 foot, hechzir achol, then you can eat it. They stuck out 1 foot, you can eat it. And also prosois. Why does it mention prosois? Is also hechzir achol. If he stuck out both feet, both hands, both front legs, whatever an animal has. He stuck out both of them and pulled one back. Yeah? The one that he pulled back, you can eat. And that's why it says prosois. One you can eat, sometimes you can eat it, sometimes you can't eat it. Yeah, I mean, sometimes if it stuck out both, but he pulled one back, so one you can eat and one you can't eat. That's why it talks about plural. Is my love, isn't the pshat in this brisa, hechzir parso, achel parso, that if he stuck out one and pulled it back in, you can eat the one that he stuck out. What are you talking about? What else is there? There's only one. So he stuck out one, he can eat the, and he pulled it back in, he can eat it. Not like what Rav said, that if he stuck out the arm, he can't eat it even when it pulls it back. So this is saying that you can't. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the pshat. Same thing that Rav keeps saying all along. That's not the pshat that he can eat the actual arm. Hechzir parsa, if he pulled the arm back in, achel ubar, that means you can eat the fetus. So again, the Gemara asks the same question. E ubar, if it's talking about the fetus, ma'at yirya hechzir, why does it have to talk about when he brought it back in? Afilo lo yechzir nami. It's the same thing again, yes, don't get frustrated. It's afilo... Who is slaughtering an animal in labor? So we discussed this before you came, that it could be because if he shechts the animal while the fetus is inside, forget about sticking his arm out. The whole thing's inside. He doesn't need to shech the child. So it saves him a whole lot of effort. So the sheikh is thinking to himself, if I manage to shech him before the cow gives birth, then I get two for the price of one. I don't have to shech the child. So he probably wants to do it quickly before the animal gives birth. Meanwhile, the cow has other ideas. Yeah, and certainly the fetus has other ideas. So it's that's how the situation. Okay, yes, we're talking, this is, you know, a little, let's treat it a little bit hypothetical, okay? It makes you happier. Is Amr of Nachum by Yitzchak, again, the same answer, same question, same discussion. The whole discussion here is about, does he have to leave a bit extra the place where it's cut? And that's it. Okay, so the Gemara says, just a second. But over here we had two psukim. Now you got to explain to me what the two psukim are about. Vatrei kreika nasiv lo. Yeah? If you're going to tell me that when he sticks his hand out, that hand is always asur. So why does it have to say parso and prasois? My love, isn't it that chad is le'aver? One is telling you the limb itself. The chad, l'makim chatach. And one is that the place where you cut it is also asur. Yeah, and therefore you can't tell me that when he says mutter in the second case, he's talking about the place of cutting, because you're going to say, no, the place of cutting is no good. In a case where the arm is no good, the place of cutting is also no good. So the Gemara says, no, the two psukim, why does it say one case foot and one case foots, feet, whatever they are? Loi, chad l'mokin chatach. One is to teach you that if it's out, then the place where you cut it has to be, you have to add extra space to make no not kosher the bit that he's cutting. The chad, the kolot b'meye poro. If you have, one is to tell you that it's permitted if the animal inside the cow turns out to not have split hooves. Shtel zichfor, the mother is giving birth and the child is a camel. Whatever, yeah. What do I mean? The mother is a cow and the son is a camel. There's a camel inside the calf. So the fetus, the mother's a proper cow with all cow features, split hooves. But the baby hasn't got split hooves. Played with a camel. This is according to Rab Shimon. The Omer Rab Shimon called it Ben Para also. Rab Shimon says, if you have an animal inside the mother, a camel who's the son of a cow, is Asur, he says, even though the Jewish mother yeah, had the cow, the mother was a cow, but the child's a camel, it's not kosher, says Rav Shimon. There's Hani Mili, when is it not kosher? Heicha de yatza la'avara olam, when it was born. If the cow gave birth to a camel, says Rav Shimon, that cow, camel is not kosher. Avo b'mei imoy, but if it's in the mother's, if the camel is still inside the mother, and you shechted the mother, is shari, then it's permitted. And that's what we're learning from the parsa and process, the extra word foots, that if the cow has foots that are split, even if the baby doesn't, and it's shechted the mother, then it's kosher. Can we stop here? Well, you really want to stop here? No, we can do a little bit more. Okay, so all of that was the opinion of Rav. Rav said that, Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, that when the arm was stuck out, even when he brought it in, the arm is osur, it's the fetus that's kosher.
Ula. Is it not restricted to make two animals together of different kind?
Yeah. Let's not go into that.
That's something else.
Yeah.
How it's going to be permitted?
It was one of these modern cows with identity crisis, and the cow identified itself as a camel. Okay, let's leave it. All right. Okay. Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, no, Eivor Atzmei Mutter. He argues with Rav, Yehuda Amar Rav, and says that the limb itself is mutter. If the baby pulled his arm in before Shechita, the arm is kosher. There's Amalei Rabbi Yehuda L'Ula. Rabbi Yehuda said to Ula, just a minute, I just got through a page and a half with my opinion, and then you come along and tell me no, that it's mutter. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Ula, Rav Shmuel Darmi Tzavaya. Not only I said it before in the name of Rav, but not only Rav, also Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel both say Eivor Atzmei is also, the limb is also. So what are you coming along and saying it's mutter? As Amar Leis, Ula said in his normal polite fashion, Man Yohiv Lan Me Afra De Rav Shmuel. I would like to get some of the dust of Rav and Shmuel in where they're from their kvarim. I'll take some of their dust and I'll lean on Einan and I'll fill up their eyes with it. In other words, That's his way of saying I don't agree with Rav and Shmuel. I'm following Rabbi Yochanan. Ella hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said.
I respect him, but in this particular case.
Yes. I in this particular case, I don't agree with him. Yes. Ella hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hakol hayu bichlal. Well, where do we learn this whole thing? From the pasuk we brought before, basar basar treifa, that something that goes out of his designated area ain't kosher. Is Rabbi Yochanan says everything was in the rule of basar basar treifa lo sechelu. So that's a general rule. Anything outside of its place, you can't eat. And then the Torah gives a prop. The Torah gives you a specific example. By a carbon chatos. So the din is that if you take the blood of a carbon chatos that's meant to be in the azara, a normal chatos, and you put it inside into the heichel, then it's chol chatos as a yuva midama lakodesh penima is not kosher to eat anymore. So the Torah told me that about a chatos sheyotes a chusim chitzos, it went away from its designated area. The chazra, even if you brought it back now into the azara, is asura, it's forbidden. So the Torah gave me an example of something that went out of its designated area that's forbidden. So I would tell you, chatos who depart rachmanaba. So that's the only case. It's not a general rule. It's like ein bechlal ela masha befrat. If you have a rule with an example, and that's it, we say that the example is it. All the other cases are not like that. Avol kol mili, but everything else besides the chatos, kevin da hadar. Once, if it went back to its designated area, even if it went out, a shari is permitted. So if the arm went out of the animal and came back in, it's permitted. So the Gemara says, just a minute, Meisve, I'll ask a kasha on this. What's it teaching you? Let's say Maisasheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim and Bikurim also. Yeah? You have to take the fruit and eat it in Yerushalayim. What happens if you took it out of Yerushalayim? You're not allowed to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. But you're sitting there with a beautiful basket of figs and dates, and you got it outside of Yerushalayim. You know what you do? Take it back to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Afal pisha yotzu chutzim chitzos, and even though they went out of the designated area, the chazru, when they came back in, is mutarim. You can eat it. Yeah? Is yachal avzekein. So you might think the same thing applies to this baby sticking his arm out, that if it went back in, we'll just pretend it didn't happen. Talmud Loimar Treifa says the word Treifa to teach you that it's no good. So the Gemara says, my Talmud, how do you tell from the word Treifa that it's no good? Where'd you get that from? It's Omar Rabba Kit Treifa. It's like a Treifa. Why is it compared to a Treifa? We're not saying it is a Treifa. We're saying it's like a Treifa. What does that mean? My Treifa, just like when you have an animal that's a Treifa. Kevin Chenitrefa, once it's been fatally flawed, and shuv ein la heter, it can never become an untrefa. Yeah, if an animal's got a missing lung, it's not going to get it back. Zav bosor, so this animal, that the arm that went out into the world, kevin sheyotze chutzim mechitzos, so shuv ein la heter. Once it's no good, it's no good. Yeah. So according to that, if the arm went out and became no good, even if it came back in, it's still no good. Teyufta deula teyufta. That is a kasha on Ullah, which he cannot answer, and so he is defeated in the debate. And well, I guess we'll have to go like Rav and Shmuel and say that the Aver is Osur.
Very cruel, isn't it?
I'll leave it over here.